As we come this morning to worship our Lord and Savior, we indeed praise Him in glorious song, for He alone is worthy of all our praise. When we come to the Lord, before we bring our needs, we should bring a heart filled with praise for who He is, not just for what He's done for us. This morning we'll be again in 1 John chapter 1. Epistle of 1 John chapter 1. Two Sundays ago we had the first four verses concerning being witnesses of the Word of Life. The Apostle John and the other 11 apostles and all the other disciples as well, they were eyewitnesses of God manifested in the flesh. The Bible teaches that God is a spirit, and that in the essence of His glory as a spirit, no mortal man has ever seen God in the fullness of His glory. But when He became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, His glory was veiled so that men could look upon Him. And we find that as those apostles and disciples walked with Jesus those 3 years on the earth, that He taught them and showed them great examples of how we are to love each other, how we are to walk together as God's children. Now in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, the remainder of chapter 1, I'm going to entitle it Forgiveness in Christ and what it means to walk in fellowship with the Lord. So beginning in verse 5, John writes, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You now for the glorious privilege that we have to worship You in spirit and in truth. We pray now that our fellowship and communion with You would be sweet, that it would be close communion. We realize, Lord, sometimes that our sin comes in between that communion. And when that happens, we need to confess our sins and forsake them and turn back to Thee, that that communion might be restored, that fellowship would be restored. I thank You, Lord, for Bethlehem Church, every member and friend of this body. And I continually, Lord, pray that You would place it into the heart of others a desire to worship You here with us at this place, that the church might be able to continue into the future, if it be Thy will. Be with us now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we find, in order to walk in fellowship with Christ, we must walk in His light. He is light. He says in verse 5, He declares to us that God is light. God is the source of all light, whether it be the physical light of the sun that He created to light the earth, whether it be moral light or, most importantly, spiritual light. He is the enlightener of the universe. The term light denotes a luminous clearness, free from any other source other than God Himself. Light represents truth, knowledge, holiness, in contrast to darkness that represents ignorance, error, falsehood, and sin. And so we see that even in the beginning of the Bible, when God created the universe, it was said, let there be light, and there was light. And it was the light of God Himself, even before He created the sun in the sky. But we find in John 1 and 9 that Jesus is light. For He says, He is the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. And that every man is every born again child of God. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 verses 6 through 8 teaches again that God's light comes into the heart of a child of God and illuminates the darkness that was previously there. He says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, He has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so, when Jesus came as a man, He came bearing the light of God, which is His truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Me. There's several other verses that John gives concerning Jesus as the light. For example, in John 8 and 12. John 8 and 12, Jesus told His disciples that I am the light of the world. And he that follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so we find, when John then begins to say in our text, he first declares the very essence of who God is. He is light. John also says in another verse that God is love. These are the attributes of who He is. All of His goodness can be comprehended in those words. He is light and He is love. In contrast to the sin-darkened world in which we live, and in contrast to the darkened, depraved heart that we're born with by nature. But again, just as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, God that commanded that light to shine out of darkness in creation, He has shined the light of Jesus Christ in your heart and my heart, whereby we are born again, and we are enabled to cry out to Him, Abba, Father. And now we have the glorious privilege of once again walking in fellowship and in communion with Him. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they died a spiritual death, and they lost their fellowship and their communion with God. God sent Jesus to the cross to restore that fellowship and that communion that had been broken. And then he begins in verse 6 to say this: if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and yet we continue to walk in darkness, that is the darkness of our own sinful nature, the darkness in the world in which we live, then we lie. That is, first of all, we're lying to ourselves, and we are not doing the truth. That means that we are not practicing the truth. We're not walking in the light. That would be a hypocritical approach to say that as a child of God, and John's letters are written to God's children. The Bible is not written to the non-elect. God's children are under consideration here. So when he says that if we simply say that we walk in fellowship with Him, it's like saying the right words, but then living any way that we want to live. We can't do that. We have to, if we talk the talk, we must walk the walk. And so we are deceiving ourselves, and we're making out that God Himself even is a liar, as we'll see that momentarily. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14 that this same principle, he says that we cannot walk with God and the world in essence. He says it this way: Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? The answer is none at all. We cannot be unequally yoked together with unbelievers in the world. And so that's what John is talking about here in verse number 6. Saying that we have fellowship with the Lord and yet walking in the darkness of the world, being unequally yoked with unbelievers, it cannot be. It will not be acceptable with God. And then he says this in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, who are we deceiving? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The wise man Solomon, when he was dedicating the temple in Jerusalem, said, in effect, in 1 Kings chapter 8, that there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sins not. And then he put it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. Solomon said this. He says that for there is not a just man on the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. All men are sinners. Paul said in Romans 3:10, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. So if we say we have no sin, we're telling a lie. And hence we sinned. Because there's not a just man on the earth who doeth good and does not sin. And so we find that if that's the case, then we are self-deceived, and the truth of God and who Jesus is not abiding in us. When he says that it is the truth is not in us, as a child of God, that does not mean that His Spirit is not within us. But I believe there it means that we are not abiding in Christ. We're not abiding in the truth. Because later in John's epistle, he teaches that we must abide in Him that we might have fellowship with Him. And then we find in that famous verse 9 that the key to overcoming that separation that would divide our fellowship with God is to confess our sin. And not only to confess our sin, but to forsake it, to turn away from sin. Because God is faithful. He is faithful to His promises and His holy word. There is not one promise God ever made that will not be fulfilled. The word confess means to agree with, to be in agreement with another. And so, confessing our sins to the Lord, or even to one another, means that we agree that we have fallen short of what the Lord would have us to do. And so he says, if, or we could say, when, because we know that we sin. If we confess our sins, He, God, number one, He is faithful. Now, aren't you thankful for that comfort? God is faithful. Now, when He says that He's faithful, again, He's faithful to the promise of His mercy, His love, and His grace. And He's also just in the sense that our forgiveness comes through through the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone. His atonement on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Because Jesus took the punishment that we deserve. And so he says he's both faithful and just to forgive our sins. And that word forgive means to remit, to take it away from us as far as the east is from the west, David said in Psalm 103:12. So that first part of that verse is talking about the eternal forgiveness of our sin. But then he also says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need a daily cleansing. And we've been washed white as snow in the blood of the Lamb. But yet we stand every day in need of daily cleansing. Just like you remember how Peter told the Lord on that night in the upper room when Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper, and after supper, he took the towel and girded himself and began to wash the disciples' feet, a cleansing. And Peter said to Jesus, "You shall never wash my feet." And then Jesus said to Peter, "If I wash you not, then you have no part with me in this service, in this experience of fellowship and communion with me." And then he was evidently convicted in his heart, knowing that he had erred. And he said, "Lord, don't wash my feet only, but my hands and my head." But then Jesus said unto Peter, "He who is washed only needs to have his feet washed." That is, he is clean, completely clean every whit. But we stand daily in need of a foot washing. Our feet represent where we go and what we do on a daily basis. And so we need that cleansing. Paul talked about it in Ephesians chapter 5. The washing of water through the Word of God. Cleansing, if you will. If we confess, the wise man Solomon put it this way in Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 and 13. He says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." That's the first inclination of the sinful nature, is to cover up our sin. Now, I would say it this way, though. A child of God has that inclination to do so because we have the sin nature and the nature of God in us, and we know that sin is wrong. But then our sinful nature says, "I want to cover it up." But he says, "He that covers his sin up shall not prosper. But rather, whosoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Mercy of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he says that is the pathway to having a restored fellowship and a restored communion with the Lord. And then finally he says in verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, not only are we deceiving ourselves," as he says in verse 8, "but we're also making God a liar, and His Word is not in us, not abiding in us, because His Word teaches us, as I said already, that all men have sinned." Now, I do want to turn in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Again, he says in verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one." And so we find there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sins not. And then drop down to verse 23 of Romans chapter 3. Again he says, For all have sinned, both Jews and Gentiles, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the grand truth of the gospel is, in verse 24, we as His children are justified, being freely justified by His grace. God's riches at Christ's expense, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the redeeming of His blood. We were not redeemed, Peter says in 1 Peter 1:18, with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish, who He says, who verily was foreordained of God, and He was like the Lamb slain from even before the foundation of the world. In the mind and purpose of God, the atonement of His blood was just as much in effect before the foundation of the world as it was when He came in reality and shed His blood on the cross. God's purposes are so sure that it's just as good as if it had already been done. And so he says that through His grace we have been justified, just as if we had never sinned, through the redemption in Christ. And God has set Christ forth to be a propitiation. That means one who satisfies the wrath of God. Jesus met and satisfied God's just law. And the Lord had confidence in that blood of Christ. And now he says, we have his righteousness for the remission of our sin. Again, the word remission can also be translated forgiveness. It means passing over our sins done aforetime. To remit, to pass over. And now he declares his righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus imputed to you and me, that he might be both just through Christ and the justifier of him who believes in him. And it only happened through the shed blood. For without the shedding of blood, says in Hebrews chapter 9, there is no remission of our sin. Only through the blood. And so we thank God today that whenever we sin willfully or ignorantly, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who stands in the gap as our great high priest now every day, making intercession for us, that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we might be restored to fellowship and communion with him, in order that we might walk in his light and in his truth and serve him by serving his people every day acceptably with reverence and godly fear. May God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.